We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Tyrese Haliburton, and you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Indiana, home of Pacers basketball.
Miller for three, and he got it.
Legends have been born.
Miller retreats to the three-point line.
Memories have been made.
Haliburton, a deep three for the lead.
Great basketball has been played.
Nembhard away. Hits a three at the buzzer to win the game.
In 49 states, it's just basketball.
Flips it to the big fella, fake shoots, and hits.
But this is Indiana. And you're listening to Setting the Pace.
Let's go!
Your go-to Pacers podcast.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci. Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
We got Pacers hooping. Let's talk stats. Hot takes. All facts. New topics. Updates. Three-pointers. Fast breaks. We keep scoring. We don't need to stop. New episodes. Weekly drops. This your number one podcast. Sweeping every team. We gon' need a mop.
Setting like the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Setting the pace with Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Fauci.
Alex and Allison.
Pacer Nation, what's going on? Welcome back to your go-to Pacers podcast, Setting the Pace. I'm your host, Alex Gold. I'm joined today, once again, by Michael J. Fauci, the president of the Jermaine O'Neal Fan Club. Fauci, how's it going?
Oh, man, you know how it is. The highs and lows of being a Pacer fan. Tonight, we're riding sky high because this was everything the doctor prescribed. A game, a get-right game against the Detroit Pistons, and that is exactly what it looked like for these Pacers.
There's a lot of things to talk about, but I think we got to start things off with the man that made his return from injury. Doug McDermott is back, Fauci, and 4 of 6 from the field for 9 points. Are we seeing a new Dougie McBuckets?
I was stunned. And dare I say, I saw him play good defense at the end of a quarter. He forced a miss without fouling. My jaw almost hit the ground. McBuckets didn't even know if he would. First, honestly, he came into the game. I'm not going to say I was mad. But I was like, oh, so we're definitely back to, like, McDermott getting minutes. But I got to say, he made the minutes count. He was a plus 14 in this game, and it definitely looked like a different McDermott from what we saw, you know, post-trade deadline.
All right, now we've got that out of the way. We can get to the good stuff here.
Let's do it.
It was honestly, like, the beginning of the game felt like, oh, my God, here we go again. Indiana's down 10-2 big. The Detroit was not playing great. And then all of a sudden, here comes a Pascal Siakam takeover. They just kept feeding him the ball over and over and over again. And Detroit had no answer for him. And I think you kind of saw once again, like, hey, when Pascal touches the ball and he's kind of the focal point, this team's a lot better. So it kind of got them into their rhythm playing around Pascal. He kind of steadied the ship a little bit as they were kind of falling apart there early into the game. And I love how the Pacers just kind of kept their composure, ended up winning the first quarter after what it didn't seem like they were
surprising.
Going to. And, you know, they just had a really solid all-around game, and I believe they won every quarter in terms of scoring. Maybe not – they lost the fourth by 1 point, I think. So, but still,
yeah, no,
the game
starter,
was a wrap at that point.
Exactly.
So for the quarters that matter, like, Indiana really took care of business, and I thought, okay, this was a really nice performance, but I thought Pascal Siakam really just put this team on his back and kind of got them over the hump that they were trying to get over in that beginning of the game.
No, he really did. BC, you talked about it. The early 10-2 deficit was like, what is going on? This is Detroit without Ausar Thompson, without, Beef Stew. It was like they're already the worst team in the league. You could say you make an argument for the Wizards, but either way, they were without some of their key players. So I was worried, but Siakam, yeah, you talked about getting the Pacers off of that early lead. He had 12 points on 5 of 6 shooting in the first quarter. I thought that was absolutely essential. Everybody else for the Pacers was kind of floating around, 2 to 4 points. Siakam really looked like that guy that all of a sudden it was like, okay, please continue to get him the ball. I know he only actually had one shot in the second quarter, but it was at that point that the Pacers were really starting to push ahead, and I felt that he got them off to that early start. But another thing that was very evident was Tyrese had it going tonight. He did. I know it wasn't maybe essentially a big first quarter, but he had 4 points. He had 4 assists, and he actually had 3 steals in the first quarter. And I just felt like one thing that I noticed all game was he wasn't relying on the 3-point ball. I felt that he was really getting to the basket. He finishes this game 20 points, 9 assists. The more impressive thing, 9 of 13 shooting. Didn't play the fourth quarter. I thought that that was great to see. So only plays 26 minutes, but the 1 of 3 from 3, while it's not a good percentage, it's far better than going 1 of 9 from 3. And I just felt like the last 2 games he had been 1 of 9 from 3.
Yeah, I mean, the Pacers shot as a team 11 of 29 from the 3-point line tonight, but Tyrese Haliburton, 1 of 3, 33% is incredibly better than the 19% he's been shooting all month. So it's baby steps and it's the Pistons. So it's like we can't really like go off of this one
No.
game sample size and say Tyrese Haliburton is back. But no, the efficiency, you're right, from two, it's been good. And I think he did a good job of continuing that trend. So 9 of 13 from the field, like you mentioned, just a really solid performance from him tonight and got himself going different ways. Defensively, 4 steals. There are still times where he could be better on ball as a defender, but getting his hands in passing lanes can always help. And I felt like we really were starting to see Tyrese Haliburton dig in a little bit more defensively, especially when they had that little 2-game road trip in Orlando and Oklahoma City. And then it feels like he's kind of taken a step back defensively. And I think part of that is just the offensive struggle. So it's one of those things where it's like the negativity on offense is carrying over more into the negativity on defense. And I think that once he can kind of just get himself figured out in terms of what he's trying to become and figure himself out through this slump, then you're going to see, okay, I can lock in a little bit more defensively. But I agree with what Coach Carlisle said after the game against Cleveland, like our defense is going to lead to our offense. And so it really does say that. And I think that if Tyrese can buy into that narrative a little bit and that coaching point, that it will help unlock his offense. But you look at this team tonight, Fauci, fast break points 25 to 11, and then points in the paint 70 to 54. And we know that this is a Detroit team that they've got a some big young players and Jalen Duren and James Wiseman that like to score on the point. Cade Cunningham likes to get in the paint. So really just a good job of the Pacers to kind of push that and outscore them by 16 there.
Yeah, you talk about the paint. They also defended the 3-point line really well. I mean, Detroit 5 of 23 from 3. That's good for about, just under 22%. So, and then just 23 assists for Detroit. And, that's a far cry from Indiana's 38. I mean,
Huge.
that's Pacer basketball right there. Nearly 40 assists is just incredible. So, I thought that was really good to see. But one other name that I feel like deserves an early shout out. The man who played against his hometown team, that's Isaiah Jackson, the guy who I feel like tonight, I mean, look, he saved some of his best games against Detroit. Jalen Smith does not get out there. I had to look up some information. I was like, what's going on? I don't know if I heard something, injury-wise, but I didn't. But, Isaiah Jackson gets that playing time over him, and he delivers 10 points, 11 boards, 6 assists. I got to
Yeah.
double check that. That's got to be a career high. But also
Yeah.
had 3 steals. So I just felt like it was great to see Isaiah Jackson out there and producing. He played 28 minutes, which was actually the most on the Pacers. I always kind of feel like I wonder if Carlisle throws him more opportunities against the Pistons, being it's a hometown team. It just feels like there's been a trend. I believe his career high is against Detroit as well. But interesting move not playing Jalen Smith tonight and going Isaiah over him.
Yeah, no, that's a great point because he is from Detroit, or he's from Michigan, I should say. Maybe
Yes.
Detroit, I can't remember.
It's
So,
Michigan.
okay, yeah. So, like, Carlisle does that. I mean, you remember last year how he started all the Canadian players in Canada for the Toronto game.
For him. Yeah.
And you have to remember, too, the Pacers' first game back from the All-Star break was against Detroit at home. Jalen Smith was not – I think he was ruled out for that game. Maybe he could have played in it. I can't remember. But he didn't play in that game. And Isaiah Jackson had a pretty good game off the bench. So maybe it's just the matchup, having more of an athletic big and Durin out there and James Wiseman, that they like that matchup a little bit more. But also maybe it's another way to get Isaiah some minutes here when he's not getting a lot, while they've been going with Jalen Moore, giving Jalen – a night off, knowing that Jalen has had those moments where his back has kind of flared up. So definitely don't think it was an injury thing. I think it was just a matchup thing and a hometown thing. And just for this specific game, it was going to be Isaiah Jackson. I don't know if anybody asked questions about it in the post-game press conference with Rick, but I think that's an interesting thing to look forward to. And we'll see what happens against Golden State. If you don't see Jalen Smith out there in that game and it's Isaiah Jackson, well, maybe they're transitioning to playing more Jackson at the backup center, but I wouldn't buy into it yet. I just think that it was more matchup dependent. But you're right. It was a really good game for him. And I think that he always kind of plays with the chip on his shoulder now when he gets into the game, just because his spot in the rotation is not solidified and he's fighting for minutes and battling for minutes. And I don't think he's really going out of his way to kind of disrupt what's going on, but he's just playing extremely hard when he gets out there. And I think you pair that with TJ McConnell and how hard he plays, that's a pretty good 1-2 punch with your point guard center combo right there.
It really is. And Isaiah has always played hard, but I'm looking at it dating back to last year and this year. Every time the Pacers have played Detroit, he's played just about 20 minutes or more. So I'm convinced that Carlisle is giving him that opportunity. And I was right. You know, he had a game last year against Detroit, 19 points, 11 rebounds. It was in Detroit, so I feel like it was definitely, I believe that he had a lot of people in the crowd. So I feel like that's one that Carlisle is definitely throwing him, that, hey, go out there, have that opportunity. But yeah, to your point, I definitely want to monitor to see what is Jalen's role, because you were right. Jalen did not play in the last game against Detroit where Isaiah got those minutes. So something definitely to keep an eye on, but this was one of those performances tonight where I'm just like, you know, Isaiah has really produced when he's been playing like 15 or more minutes on the year. I feel like a lot of times, you know, he's scoring in double figures or he's been a good rebounder in that span. So just good to see him to get that opportunity, because sometimes it's tough to just see him out of the rotation or playing 3 minutes. But we know come playoff time, he's someone who's unfortunately not expected to be in the rotation.
Yeah, and I think it's funny, as we're talking, the Pacers just posted a video from Rick Carlisle saying Isaiah was spectacular. He changed the game when he came in.
It's
and
great.
It says Coach Carlisle spoke highly of Isaiah Jackson's performance in his home state of Michigan. So there you go.
Yeah.
That was a lot to do with it. But yeah, I mean, just a really good performance from him. And, you know, we did talk about McDermott at the very beginning, just kind of being funny about it, but wanted to also just highlight that he did return in this game and he's been out for quite a while. So, but 50 points scored off the bench in this game tonight. And you always love to see when your starters don't have to really come back in the fourth quarter, and you get to see the Kendall Browns, the James Johnsons, the Jairus Walkers. I hate to say it like that, but it's kind of how it's been the last few games since he's not played. But yeah, I do think that it's good to see those players out there when you're on the positive side of things, not when you're on the negative side of things. And it was just a really good bench performance once again. Obi Toppin had some nice plays. TJ McConnell just does what TJ McConnell does, the consummate pro. Ben Shepherd continues to grow in his role. And like we mentioned, Isaiah Jackson. So I really just enjoyed how the bench played in this game tonight, Baji.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I mean, you know it's a party when James Johnson's getting in there. At that point, once I saw him out there, I was like, okay, you know what? This is we have emptied the bench, and you know, I think that that's definitely a lot of fun. But, you know, for Jarris, I definitely felt for him because, you know, with McDermott coming back and playing 16 minutes, now you start to wonder, like, is Jarris, you know, going to be able to get any minutes in meaningful games now? He was working his way up, getting a handful of minutes here and there and building that up from, you know, like 3 minutes to 7 minutes to, you know, 1.20 minutes to, you know, now I really don't know. I mean, obviously with McDermott playing well, it definitely keeps that door open to say, hey, well, you know what, if he's hitting shots, it would be helpful for Indiana. So, you know, definitely something to keep an eye on. I thought for TJ McConnell, it was great to see the 13 points. Very uncharacteristic for McConnell to have 6 turnovers. Very much not like him. I thought that that was something that, I thought at one point he was going to get charged for a 7th turnover. It looked like it went to someone else. But, you know, McConnell, hey, that double-digit scoring is still vital to the Pacers. And he's on a stretch right now where he has just been producing double-digit scoring night in, night out. That is now
4
straight games for McConnell, and he's done it in 5 of his last 6. He had 9 points against OKC. Otherwise, he would be on quite the run. And I just feel like now he's really been someone the Pacers are able to rely on. That, hey, this man's giving you double-digit scoring, and he's giving it to you in just about 20 minutes a night.
I mean, as many turnovers as that he causes defensively, I think you can live with a bad night every once in a while, especially if you still get the victory. So there were some comments after the game where Tyrese is getting interviewed with Jeremiah Johnson, and Jalen Smith once again crashes the interview. But T.J. McConnell also crashed it, and they had this little fun back and forth where Halliburton kind of threw McConnell under the bus in a friendly, joking matter about his number of turnovers, and TJ kind of walked off. But that's just their relationship. People that are reading into that too much. I saw some comments on there saying, like, oh, you think TJ was mad that I'm like, no.
Oh,
like,
my God, please.
Yes. No. These two guys obviously are good friends. I mean, who doesn't love TJ McConnell? Everybody loves TJ McConnell, especially his teammates. But that, you know, Tyrese was like, yeah, I think I had 7 the last time we played against Detroit or something like that, you know. So it was all just a little bit of back and forth banter, but that's what you need at this point. And I think that we've been talking at nauseam about Tyrese Halliburton's struggles, and it's just good to see him kind of smiling again. And I can tell he's kind of done with media right now at this point.
Yeah,
he's answering the questions, and I respect it because he understands like the importance of his voice and being the face of the franchise. But you know, after this game, it's like I'm sure he's ready to not have to do the post-game interview, and you could tell like TJ and Jalen coming out there probably just made him feel a little bit better, just like trying to lift his spirits up, because we have not seen the Arthur Skip Tyrese Halliburton in months. And so if he can eventually shake this off and get back to that before the playoffs, that'd be great. I don't know if it's going to happen this year. I don't feel like it will, but I definitely just, you know, I love the way TJ McConnell, I talked about it last episode that we did on the postgame recap of how he kind of lifted him up by answering a lot of those questions after a tough, tough loss to Cleveland. But, you know, that is their relationship. And TJ McConnell, just 7 turnovers. Yeah, that's not a good stat whatsoever. Nah. Bad night from TJ handling the ball. But overall, he just continues to be Mr. Reliable.
No, he is, and he's just so efficient every night. I mean, it's just truly something that I feel like you can count on, that there's not the, like, why does McConnell have 15 shots tonight when he's 5 of 15? I mean, look at some of these recent shooting performances. You know, he was 6 of 9, 7 of 11, 5 of 14, 5 of 11, 4 of 8, 8 of 12. I mean, for the most part, you know, he's shooting right around 50% or above. That now at this point on the month, he's actually averaging 13.6 points per game on 57% shooting. It always sounds comical mentioning his three-point shooting. It's 63%, but, you know, it's limited. I mean, he hit a 3 tonight against Detroit, so you always got to love that. But one thing, going back to Tyrese hit this floater that I did not think that he was going to hit, and he went flash right over to the bench and just kind of put up his hand like one of those he wasn't expecting. The teammates were going wild. I feel like that was Tyrese having fun again. Mm-hmm. And that is so important to see. Yeah, he might not be skipping or any of that stuff, but just to be able to see him see that ball go in exactly like it was earlier in the year, 9 of 13 shooting, just incredibly efficient, is just like, let's go on a run. Tyrese. Like, he was deep in his bag tonight. The one thing when we talked about Detroit is, yeah, it is Detroit. And to be honest, while he played really good tonight, the other probably best game that he had since the All-Star break was against Detroit when he had 25 points and 13 assists right after the All-Star break. So let's see if you can do this again against maybe a team that isn't at the bottom of the standings. But for a night like tonight, you know, you beat the Pistons by nearly 20. Your starters didn't play the fourth quarter. This could not have gone better. You could have got out to a better start. But in the end, like we said, the Pacers didn't trail after the first quarter. And I think that said a lot because things looked like they were getting ugly.
Yeah, for sure. And I do want to bring up a point here about Andrew Nimhardt. Obviously, the box score won't really show it. But after the first quarter, Cade Cunningham got up to a good start. He only was 4 of 13 in the second and third quarter of the game. And so it just kind of shows you how difficult Andrew Nimhardt was making life for Cade Cunningham. And it felt like this is a Pistons team, and I hate to say it like this, but it's just true. This is a team that knows that they are destined for the lottery. They do not care as much. And this game clearly meant way more to Indiana. Obviously, there's still guys trying to develop and get some opportunities here, get some reps, but I don't think they're going all out like 100% like the Pacers would be going here if the game was a little bit closer. So, you know, they're playing. Detroit is playing better as of late. They're playing a little bit more free, a little bit more loose, and just kind of, you know, there's no pressure to win because it's just, you know, this is what we are. It is what it is. But I just felt like we don't usually see the Pacers always have their way with teams that are below them. We've seen them struggle against the worst teams of the NBA. But to sweep Detroit this year is awesome. And it's the first time that's happened, Flatchy, since 2016, 2017.
It's crazy because I remember a couple years ago, the Pacers lost to Detroit on my birthday. And I remember being like, are you kidding me? Like, it was when the Pistons were so bad. I think it was the year that they drafted Cade. It was just like, I don't know how we lost that game, but it was just, even last year, remember the Pistons had lost so many games in a row and then they beat the Pacers. And it was just like, oh. So, and then we were the team that even when we didn't want to win, you know, we beat the Pistons. It was just like, there was no good outcome at any given point for either team. But what are your thoughts on Cade Cunningham? Because look, first overall pick last year, definitely a lost season. He had that shin injury. Like, I don't know. He's a number one pick that I feel like there's so much losing going on in Detroit that I feel like it's hard for him to really get any shine at all. And I still just don't know. Is this a player who's putting up really good stats on a really bad team, or what is it? But I just feel like a couple years in, this is his third season. There is really just not that chatter amongst the league of like Cade Cunningham is one of those guys or anything like that.
I think he's a heck of a player, Fauci. I really do. I mean, he's got a lot of size. He's a point guard. It's kind of what you hope for in today's NBA because he can do a lot of different things. But there are some problems with his game. There's some holes in his game. And you talk about it. It's his third year. But like you mentioned, year two was
lost
because of the injury. So really, it's only a second year in the league, fully healthy, and he's on a team that, like you mentioned, they have just a terrible culture in Detroit.
Yeah,
and
it's bad.
That's one thing that, you know, like for Indiana fans, you guys can relate to this a little bit. The Pacers have been bad the last two seasons, really. Yeah, the last two seasons, I would say, since they traded away, Sabonis. And so they've had 2 years, 3 years really in the draft lottery where they got Chris Duarte at 13, Ben Mathurin at 6, and then Jairus Walker, they traded back from 7 and got him at 8. But you guys clearly know, like, it's not easy to just win. And so having a losing culture can be detrimental to your team's growth. And so the Pacers did a really good job of trying to have a structure that was in place while also trying to develop. And I think that's the right way to go about rebuilding a team. And instead of doing what, like, you saw Philadelphia do with, you know, trust the process and things like that. Like, it's okay to, like, tank to get a good pick, but like you can't do that for so long that it just becomes your culture. But I don't really think Detroit's been that great for a while now. So
it's been, I think they have like, I don't want to say like the longest drought or anything from winning a playoff game, but like it's actually been pretty much ever since they moved on from, like, we're dating ourselves back, but kind of going back to the end of that real run, it feels like with like your Ben Wallace's and your Rasheed Wallace and everything, like, They're in a dark hole now that succeeded about a decade.
Yeah, so I do like Cade. I think that it kind of tells you where he's at a little bit developmental wise with the shot selection that he took against Miami when the game was tied and he took a shot with 14 seconds left on the clock and he could have just took a last second shot with the game tied. So I think that, you know how I feel about Monty Williams. I don't find him to be the most.
He looked worn out at this press conference. How many press conferences could you answer? You know, after all these losses, it's just like, what do you want the man to say? But I felt for him.
I think he's a fine person. I obviously hate everything that he had to go through personally.
Yes.
I do feel for him as a man. And I think that he was a great developmental coach. But some guys, I just don't really know like what their calling card is as a head coach. And so we've seen this team develop a little bit over the last couple of months. But still, to me, there are ways away from being anything special. But I like Cade Cunningham. I don't necessarily know if he's ever going to be the guy on a team. But I do think he could be a guy on a team that tries to make the playoffs. So I don't want to write him off too early just yet, Foch. But I like a lot of the things that he brings. But, you know, you saw his statistics in this game that Andrew Nimhard was able to make a difficult for him after he got off to an early start. So I just think he kind of needs someone to kind of help shoulder the load a little bit more. And I don't really see that in Jaden Ivey just yet so far in his career. And then the other pieces, Asar Thompson, you know, Jalen Duren, they put around him, they're more complimentary pieces than they are, you know, stars. So I think that it's an uphill battle for this Detroit team to find the right players to put with Cade. But that's where I could also see them maybe like saying, okay, let's just trade Cade and see what we can get.
Yeah, I mean, that lineup they rolled out tonight, it was bad. I mean, there was a couple of those guys that I'm just like, I don't even know if these are NBA players. And I just feel like the bench for Detroit, I mean, they brought nothing to the table. Like, I saw Buddy Boeheim come out there. I was like, Buddy Boeheim? Like, what? Like, this is just, you know, this is truly like, this is something right now. But I feel they have a lot of young players. But when you have a lot of young players, they're all trying to go out there and get theirs. Like, you got like a James Wiseman who like is fighting for that next, you know, contract, and a guy like Jaden Ivey who like you still don't know exactly. He's good, but like he's still trying to, you know, cement himself. Then, you know, you got your Jalen Durans, and just there's a bunch of other players. I just feel like they need to, you know, find themselves, and I just don't know how many more years it's going to be. Cade is going to be up for. What's going to happen is Cade's going to get a massive contract in Detroit, and they're not going to be any closer to winning. So, look, I'm just looking like it's not our problem. You know, we'll let them continue to be at the bottom of the standings. Helps to have them in the division. But, yeah, I'm happy that we got that sweep because I felt like Detroit is the only bad team that we have not lost to this year. And maybe other than, like, Brooklyn, but Detroit's, like, a different level type of bad. And I think that tonight was very essential for the Pacers to show something. I feel like, A, they showed how to respond when you were in a solid hole to begin with. And then, B, also, they played defense. 103 points. I mean, I still need to rub my eyes from time to time. Did I imagine this? Because we've been scarred from the beginning of the year. But the Pacers are starting to put together stretches where they're letting up, you know, we go through it recently, 103 points now in 103 points against Detroit, 108 against Cleveland, 100 against Brooklyn. Like, that's the last three games. That's awesome to see.
No, it really is. I mean, this defense has improved. There's no doubt about it. And I think that that's kind of what they have to hang their hat on because I don't think they have the same firepower offensively with the way they kind of change the roster. And Tyrese just not being Tyrese. Now, if Tyrese could be Tyrese, then I think they could easily get back up to 120 points a game. But he's just not shooting at the same level. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting, Fachi, but I...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I do kind of want to just look forward quickly here to this road trip. Obviously, this was game one of a 5-game road trip, and a lot of different things you can take from this. And I've always seen, and it feels like when teams go on road trips, they bond a little bit more, they get a little bit closer. And what better time than right now for the Pacers to kind of hit that stride with this group? Obviously, if you look at when they acquired Pascal, it was on that road trip, but it was clearly like into the halfway point of the season. Now they're kind of to that point where they've played close to 30 games, I think, if not 30, right around 29, I think, games with Pascal Siakam so far. So they're kind of hitting this road trip now like how they would at the beginning of the season with the team. So maybe they can kind of find something here and it can stick, and Tyrese will maybe break out of that slump. But they're playing three teams that kicked their butt in a row here. You got Golden State that just embarrassed them on trade deadline night. And then you've got the Clippers really who killed them by like 30-some points. And Mathurin had like 30 in the game, but it was just atrocious overall from everybody else. And then the Lakers, they beat them in the in-season tournament pretty handily. So the Pacers kind of have a revenge tour set up here, Fauci, to take care of business. And then they got Chicago on the way home, who they really want to take care of business. So they can, you know, find a way to be really successful on this road trip. I think it's going to be a good momentum shifter for this team as they get to this final stretch. There's not any easy games left on the schedule. They just got to win them all to continue to, you know, move up in the standings or just hold firm at six. But they're seven right now, a half a game behind Philadelphia. They're playing the Suns as we're recording this. But to me, this is the huge road trip that I'm hoping they can kind of use to kind of catapult them into that next phase of who this team can be.
Yeah, I don't want to be dramatic and say this is like a kind of a little bit of a season-defining road trip. But at this point, like, if you do want to, you know, remove yourself from being like a play-in team, this is really essential to go. I would say over this 5-game, you know, road trip, you got to go 3-2. I feel like if you really want to be able to, you know, have a true shot here, because you beat Detroit, great, but there's going to be three of those games where it's going to be, you know, 10 to 10:30 at night. It's going to be different. It's going to be an adjustment, you know, for the Pacers. But then you end that road trip against a Chicago team that's already given you a lot of trouble this year. So you can't look at this to be like, oh, well, you got Chicago to end the road trip. You know how that is. That last game on a road trip, a lot of times you're kind of looking at already, hey, we're going home after this. Absolutely, they cannot have that mentality. So the one thing I do feel about it, I feel good about, is this is not the same Lakers team that they ran into, you know, earlier. I feel like the Lakers had a lot of momentum in the beginning of the year. And the Lakers right now, this is a team that's getting a little bit thin on bodies. Christian Wood, Jared Vanderbilt, they've been ruled out for the rest of the season. And I feel like it's a very wishy-washy Lakers team. I'm hoping the Pacers can take advantage of that, because right when the Pacers played the Lakers in December in that in-season tournament, I mean, L.A. was rolling through Houston, Phoenix, New Orleans, and the Pacers in a row, and I think they've hit a little bit of a struggle. And then for the Clippers, this is obviously, it's a really good Clippers team. I mean, it really is, and there's no way around it. I think that maybe the Clippers right now, a little bit of a struggle. They've lost 4 or 5, but they also play Portland two games in a row. I think they're going to be able to get back on track before they play the Pacers. So you got to go at least 3-2, I think, over this 5-game road trip.
Maybe Paul George gives one to his buddy Tyrese, says, hey, you know what?
They are buddies.
You need this one more than we do. You know, that would be great. No, I think it's going to be an interesting road trip, but I'm excited to see how it all plays out, because there's always good narratives that come from a road trip. Like last road trip, the Pacers made a significant trade for Pascal Siakam, like I said. So, hey, you know, what's the narrative going to be on this road trip? Pacers find their identity. They figure out who they are. Tyrese Blake breaks out of a slump. Like, I definitely could see that playing out. I think there's going to be a game here. I just feel it in my bones, Fauci. Like, there's going to be a game here from Tyrese in the next couple of games where he just kind of breaks out and hits like 4 or 5 from three, and it feels like, ah, is he back? You know, you're going to question yourself, because no one's going to say, oh, my God, Tyrese is back after one game. But it's going to feel like, okay, did he break through the slump? And so we'll see how that all plays out. But, you know, it's not an easy schedule whatsoever. They're just going to have to keep climbing uphill and try to position themselves to win. But to wrap up this game against Detroit, you know, it's one of those things where it felt good to take care of a team that sucks. You know, I hate to say that about Detroit, but they do. They're just not a good team right now. They're one of the bottom feeders of the NBA. So good to see Indiana handle business like they needed to, because – you know what? If they lost this game, I think everybody would have felt a lot different about this team.
I really do think that a loss in this game would have felt completely different than any other loss, because this is where we're at of like kind of you know, just coming up on the short end of the stick and quite a few performances. And I think that Detroit is one of those softballs being thrown at you to be like, all right, come on, you know. Like, one thing I want to say is I really do hope that Asar Thompson's all right. I heard about blood clots. It was far more than basketball. Yeah. You know, I didn't look at this as like, oh wow, the Pacers would definitely win this. It was like, whoa, that's scary for a player who's that young. And I really do hope that everything's all right. But for the last time the Pacers went on such a road trip like this in January, they had a 6-game road trip. They went 2-4, and I think that was at a point where the Pacers started to unravel a little bit. And I think that we won that game against Sacramento. That was very unexpected. A couple guys were out, and Benedict Mathurin really led the way. So I think, to your point, I think there very well could be one of those unexpected performances where maybe the Pacers just absolutely come up to pull. They show up, take down the Clippers. You never know. But I'm happy that the Pacers took care of business against a team that they should take care of in Detroit. And I do feel better about this time around running into Chicago again. I feel like the Pacers now will not overlook Chicago. But, hey, still Golden State, the Lakers, the Clippers, those are three tough teams. So let's see what we can do. But for a night like tonight, let's appreciate this win. Let's hopefully we can get a winning streak together.
Of course. And of course, Cleveland could not help the Pacers out tonight.
Never could. No one
can. You know, they had a very close game back and forth with Miami. Terry Rozier hit the go-ahead three. And I don't know what the Cavs were doing. There was 15 seconds left in the game, Fauci. I was watching this. I don't know if you got a chance to catch it, but yeah. 15 seconds in the game, Caris LeVert, you know, kind of waits for a second and then drives to the basket on the right baseline, goes to the baseline, ends up passing it. I want to say to George Niang like pump fakes and then drives to the basket and makes it two, because obviously Miami was like, we're not letting you get a three off. Mm-hmm. But they took 12 seconds to do that. They only left 3.7 seconds left on the clock to try to play the foul game with zero timeouts. I did not understand the logic behind that. And so they foul Miami. Miami makes both free throws. And then, you know, Darius Garland gets a double clutch, you know, 3-point shot, like right inside the half court line. He misses it, obviously. The Heat win the game by 3 points. You know, obviously Miami, they've kind of been up and down all year too. And they're still trying to figure out exactly who they are. But I think when they come to the playoffs, like, everybody knows that it's Miami. So just, you can never count them out. But yeah, that was a bit of a bummer. And you really feel like Cleveland probably wanted to beat them to try to avoid them in a 3-6 matchup. So to me, yeah, I was just a little bit bummed that they could not help Indiana out and get, you know, put Miami back a little bit further in the standings.
It's just too close for comfort right now. It really is. I just feel like Miami's starting to gain some steam. I think they've won, you know, 3 or 4 or something of the sort right now. So they're starting to pick it up right when everybody really is expecting them to. So, yeah, that's definitely a team that you don't want to meet in the playoffs. But for right now, for the Pacers, I think it's just you've let enough games slip away before to the point. That's why you're in this spot right now. So if the Pacers can just go get hot at the right time, none of that stuff from before is going to matter. But, you know, you don't want to be that team that on the last night of the season or the second to last, you fall into a spot where you're just like, well, now things are going to get a lot tougher. So I think that the idea of maybe being a top 4 seed is starting to slip away from our grip. But I think that if the Pacers can still be just a top 6 seed, it would go a long way. So you got a lot of work to do before then. But, you know, in the blink of an eye, Alex, I mean, we got about 3 weeks left of this season. It's going by quick. I feel like a lot has happened. I honestly think that the Pacers, it feels like they've had 2 or 3 seasons in this season. But it's also fun to be talking about meaningful games at the end of March, which is something we have not been able to do in the last few years.
No, you're right about that, Fauci. And this is where we would kind of transition most of our conversations to, like, oh, let's watch March Madness. Who's going to be there for the Pacers and things like that? But it's definitely a better spot to be. But speaking of March Madness, I'm curious, because we usually have these conversations, and you still have time, Pacer fans, if you want to join our Setting the Pace League for your tournament challenge on ESPN. I do have a link on the Twitter. I'll retweet that out before Thursday's games begin, before you can join. But, well, I'm going to get into our brackets, but I'm just curious. Who do you have as your winner?
It's so tough, because every time you look at this, you're like, oh, what about UConn? Could they do it again? But no one's repeat since Florida. you know, at this point, about 15 years ago, 2007 or so. So it's tough because I don't want to pick UConn. Every now and then I'm like, well, what about Houston? But then I just saw Houston get absolutely demolished in the Big 12 tournament. So I'm torn. I think I'll probably make up my mind tomorrow. But, you know, I did make one bracket. I had UConn versus Houston. I'm like, there's no way it's going to shake out that way. A one seed versus a one seed. That's
know.
Just you never know. But anytime I have, like, more than two one seeds in my Final Four, I'm like, I got to scrap the whole bracket and start over. So it's tough. I've flirted with, like, could Tennessee really go on a run and make something happen? They're a two seed. I do like Iowa State. So I would say overall, one bracket that I made, it was UConn versus Houston. I had it was UConn winning. So I don't think it's good.
I think a lot of people are picking UConn to win just because they are the popular pick. They've been the best team in college basketball all year. So
it just never works that way, though.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way. I actually have Auburn beating them in the Sweet 16, and then I have Iowa State making it to the Final Four, and then I have them playing North Carolina, who is my one seed that I think gets through, because I just don't love that that region of the bracket. I think it's pretty beatable. Yeah. UNC versus Arizona could be a very fun game if it goes chalky like that, but – I've had a lot of different things I flirted with. I do have Houston in my Final Four, and I also have Creighton in my Final Four. Shout out.
I have Creighton making a run. I really do. Just because
Elite Eight last year.
Yeah, I'm just not a big believer in, like, that side of the bracket of, like, your Marquettes and, like, you know, it's like Tennessee. Yeah, I think that they could be good. They could score a lot of points, but I do believe in Creighton. I do believe in Iowa State. They play really good defense.
Yeah.
And I think that when you're in the tournament, you're going to want the defensive team, because I think there's a lot of teams that might put up, you know, 80 points or so against lesser competition. But when it gets tight in March Madness, you want the defensive team. I think Iowa State could definitely make some noise. I don't have many major upsets. A couple of them, one, I'm sure me and many other people really like New Mexico.
Everybody likes New Mexico.
Everybody likes them. I mean, they're at 11 seed, their favorite, so it's not really maybe much of an upset. JMU could make some noise. JMU is, like, the best season they've ever had. They play, I think it's Wisconsin
and they play Duke, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So I made two brackets. One of them I had them beating Wisconsin. The other one I didn't have them winning, because it's like, I don't want them to go too far. But it's so hard to pick the Florida Atlantics of last year. I mean, FAU, like, who was going to predict that? I just can't think that anybody can – no one's going to pick those, like, you know, McNeese State's going to go far. Like, I just can't tell myself, hey, I'm going to do that. So it's tough, but that's also the fun of March Madness. Truthfully, I think after the first weekend or two, I have always been dead in the water.
Yeah.
Like,
who isn't, though?
I picked Purdue last year to go to the Final Four, and it was just I think I picked them in every single bracket. At that point, I just stopped paying attention to my bracket. I was done. Like, they lost in round one. So I do think they'll have a little bit of a revenge tour this year. You know, I'm not going to say they're going to pull a UVA and go from, you know, bounced in round one the previous year to winning it all. But I do think that Purdue's probably a little bit poised for a run.
I think Purdue makes it to the Sweet 16, Fachi. They're having their first two games in Indianapolis at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. So I think that's going to definitely play a massive part in who's there to support them. So they're going to have the home crowd behind them. I think it's going to be interesting, especially storytelling wise, if they get to face Gonzaga in the Sweet 16. Gonzaga has Andrew Nimhard's brother, Ryan Nimhard, on the team. He transferred from Creighton. And so I've kind of found myself intrigued by a Creighton-Gonzaga Elite Eight matchup to see who wins that one. And I actually wanted to pick Gonzaga at first. I think I ended up switching to Creighton, like I said, but I think it could come down to, like, one of those two teams making it. And I am an IU guy, so it is hard for me to pick Purdue to win two games, just seeing how they've kind of been notoriously bad. But if you even go back to their Jaden Ivey years, like, they lost to St. Peter's. It's just they've just had some unfortunate luck, and they've always got caught playing the hot team. So we'll see what happens. They did beat Gonzaga earlier this year, but I think with a week of preparation, maybe Mark Few and Gonzaga can find a way to kind of slow down Zach Edey and make it a little bit more of an interesting matchup. And I think Gonzaga's playing better basketball of late too. So
yeah,
don't rule out the Zags. They made the Sweet 16 a lot recently under Coach.
Oh yeah. Now, weird year for Gonzaga, not their typical year. I think they've been more dominant in the past. I think Kansas is another team that's not having the typical type of Kansas year. So I think this is a very wide open, March Madness. I think that everybody should feel that, hey, UConn is definitely the favorite, but like, I don't think that anyone's saying no one can beat UConn by any means. It's not like that. So that's going to be exciting. And then just selfishly, it just crushes me that West Virginia had like the worst year they've ever had. They're not in the tournament. I don't have that to root for. You don't have IU in the tournament. It's just, it takes a little bit out of it. I still feel like March Madness is for the love of the game. So there is still a lot to be excited about, but I just wish I had a team to be, really pulling for the tournament.
It is nice not having to worry about having a team in there though, so you can just relax and enjoy it without like any pressure of like, oh my God, who are we gonna face like as a fan. But no, I do understand what you're saying though. The element of like not having your favorite team in there is clearly worse than just being able to watch for fun. So we gotta wrap this up though. You gotta get to bed. You got a big day tomorrow. So if you guys listen to this on Thursday, big day for Facci on Thursday. So just one don't want to get into the nitty-gritty, but just wish him the best of luck. Big day on Thursday for Foch. But you want to go ahead and tell the people where they can find us at on social?
Absolutely. So you can find us on Twitter at PacersPod, STP. You can find Alex on Twitter at AlexGoldenNBA. I can be found on Twitter at underscore FACCI. You can find us on Instagram at PacersPod, STP. You can find us on Facebook at Setting the Pace. You can find us on TikTok at Setting the Pace. And Alex, tell them where they can check us out on YouTube.
Ladies and gentlemen, go to youtube.com/setting the pace of Pacers podcast. We can find all of our video content. Please subscribe, like the videos, let us know what you guys think in the comment section below. We do enjoy our YouTube community, but we also love our audio community as well. So obviously it is a lot heavier here with March Madness, and I'm sure you guys are going to be watching a lot of these games. But hey, you know what? If there's a stinker of a game on, turn the game on mute, turn on Setting the Pace, and let us talk to you while you're watching this game. And hear our hot takes as our hot takes are ending up in a blowout loss here in the NCAA tournament. But Facci, if you're glad the Pacers got this victory over the Detroit Pistons and they're heading out west to face Golden State, and you're hoping for another victory against the Dubs, then hit me with those three words.
Let's go, Pacers.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.